Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining the call. Welcome to Q4 and full year FY22 earnings call of Infobeans Technologies Limited. I will now hand over the call to Surabhi Jain from Infobeans to the formal introduction and get this call started. Over to you, Surabhi. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q4 and year-end earnings call for Infobeans Technologies Limited. The results and investor update have been mailed to you, and it is also available on the stock exchange. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, Co-founder and CFO. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow with a Q&A session. Kindly ask your questions by raising hands, or also you can put your queries in the chat box. After the brief overview, Avinash is over, and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you will find on our websites. With that said, I now turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surabhi. Thank you, Asha, and thank you everybody for joining this call. I highly appreciate your time and attention to Infobeans. Let's move on to the results, which is already published on the NSE website. As you all know, Infobeans is a global services company focused on digital transformation and product engineering. This is the overview for the company and this year. We were founded in 2000, and recently I, you know, realized that we need to break up our journey in three phases. The first 10 years was mostly around building the foundation, and the next, you know, four or five years were setting up the infra and setting up the team, setting up the IPO and getting the funds. The third phase is where we are seeing the rapid growth, where we are, you know, growing very, very rapidly with the use of external capital that we got, as well as by way of two acquisitions that we did. Plus, we also went very well organically as well. The active client list today, we are seeing that, you know, 80+ are active clients. There are actually more than 150 clients, but, you know, this is where we see most of the value coming from. 1,500+ team members. So if you look at this year, we have added more than 450 people on our net addition in the company. So pretty aggressive hiring that we have done this year. Plus, we have also acquired a company last year, last quarter, which was Internet Solutions. We have, out of 18-odd Fortune 500 customers, we are seeing that we have 10 active ones, and we have six active unicorns as well. So this is a new thing that we have added at this time because quite a good number of unicorns are our clients now. Financials, as of this year, we have done 289 crores as compared to 196 last year. PAT has increased to 57 as compared to 37 last year. Cash and cash equivalents remain at the same, probably lesser because we have paid one tranche to closing payment to Dennis. And then revenue has been growing at 42% CAGR since inception. Several awards and partnerships that we have received in the past. Great Place to Work, you know, for seven, 8 years. Green Companies to Work for six, 7 years. We are a gold partner with Microsoft, you know, for, you know, 15, 16 years already. Salesforce partner with Eternus relationship. It is about 10-year-old relationship. ServiceNow, 4-5-year partnership now. UiPath, a couple of years. Automattic for last year. Move on, please. This is the quick journey. As I said, the first 10 years are more or less the foundational years. You know, from 12 to 17, let's say, is more of a growth phase, or more of a frame, you know, building the team and building the infrastructure phase, and then 2017 onwards, we are moving rapidly towards you know, faster growth and aggressive, I would say, both organic and inorganic growth. Next, please. The team here, yeah, next. I'm proud of this team. If you look at the association that they have in Philippines, this is pretty large, and they are the ones who are driving the business. Next. This is primarily by virtue of acquisitions. We have, you know, founders like Emerson, Scott, Jitendran, Shesh, joining the board, and you know, they are contributing to the growth of the business. Tarulata and Gitanjali also helping in sales and marketing in their respective geographies. Some of the esteemed clients, you know, some names we can't take, but they are impressive long-term relationships like IQVIA, ALM. ALM is a 17, 18-year-old relationship. IQVIA is another 10-year, 12-year plus relationship. Facebook is a recent addition because of the work that we're doing in the philosophy group. InMobi is a new unicorn. Ola is already a unicorn. And you know, a few more names here. Next. So this is where I think we should spend more time. On the operating side, we have grown from 47 to 91 crores. Just a second, yeah. And on the EBITDA side, from 13 to 29, the margin percentages have increased for both EBITDA and PBT and PAT. So the PAT numbers are from quarterly basis from 16 to 17 crores, a slight increase there on a yearly basis, and it is flat as compared to December to March quarter. EBITDA, as we're talking about, it has increased from 13 to 29 crores. There is a significant jump of 128% in YOY and 27% key on key. I keep repeating here also that PAT margins and EBITDA margins will be you know, rationalized. It will normalize to a 24% for EBITDA and 15% for PAT as a steady state margin. We're doing better right now, which means that we have a cushion for this year in terms of you know, increasing costs and increasing salary expenses and travel expenses that are going to incur on this year. So we are more or less, we are well prepared for this. So hoping to, you know, maximize the demand that we're seeing. Next, please. So the revenue has increased to 95 crores. You know, it is a 86% jump from YOY and about 28% jump from quarter to quarter. Same goes with EBITDA and PAT, significant jump YOY, and you know, PAT is flattish as compared to what we did last quarter, mostly because, you know, there are year-end expenses that, you know, come up, like leaving cash minutes, you know, like some other performance bonuses, year-end bonuses that we have to pay towards the month for. And then EBITDA margins have been more or less there from what it was in the last quarter versus this quarter. Next, please. So yearly level, I think that's a significant jump in all the three matrices. 47% increase from 196 to 89. I think EBITDA was about 55 or so last year, so it is 85 now. And PAT was 37, which is 57 now. So 54% growth here and 57% EBITDA. Next, please. By the way, the if you look at the QO USD terms, sorry to move that. The revenue growth on Q is 20%. And on the yearly basis, it is 46%. So that tells on that, you know, we have grown both organically and inorganically in the system, not just the by way of acquisition. By, you know, just to remind the audience, Eternus numbers are added only for 4 months, from November to March this year. Next year, there will be full 12-month addition because we acquired the company by end of next year. And we started adding up in the books from 1st of December onwards. Next, please. So these are consolidated numbers. I think we talked about it again. So total revenue for the quarter is 95 crores. Last quarter it was 74. And March quarter 21 was 51. Significant jump there. Same is the case with expenses. Expenses have also increased dramatically. EBITDA margins have remained same on a quarterly basis at 31%, but on the quarter year-on-year basis, it has increased pretty well. PAT from 10 crores to 17 crores on a year-on-year basis. Margins are slightly depressed from 20% to 18%. As I said, for us, steady state margin is more or less like 15%. So we still have some room here. Mm-hmm. On a yearly basis, 196 to 289, 54 to 85 on EBITDA, and 37 to 56 on PAT. So this is a rounding error. We saw 57 there, 56 here. It is just a rounding error. So ignore that. Next, please. So on a revenue breakup, we see that this year, there was no India geography last year, but this year there is a 16% breakup by India and a little bit of Singapore there. But most of the revenue is coming from India as a new geography. UAE and Europe remains at 3 to 4% each, and 77% is coming from US, which is our primary market. Next, please. So, if you look at the segment-wise the thing, we are doing, it should be the other way, right? Digital transformation and product engineering. Digital transformation is a higher percentage as compared to...
This is quarter four number only.
Sorry, okay. So this is, okay, my bad. This is quarter four. And for the quarter, we have done better in product engineering less as compared to digital transformation. Infobeans has added, return has added 8% to the top line as compared to the total revenue for this year. Next, please. This is a slide which is common in all our presentations, right from the IPO days. A strategy, a set of strategies that we are working towards has been delivering results for us. And we continue to follow those same practices with a more refined version of it. So we are continuing to spend and invest in organic growth, both by way of building the sales team and delivery team, as well as working towards automating a lot of our delivery processes and functions so that we can improve the efficiency aspects of it. We also have exploring new set of technologies to see if we can use that as a new, add that as a new portfolio into our portfolio as a new web setup abilities. We are also looking at inorganic growth continuously to enhance our capabilities and capabilities. We have state-of-the-art infrastructure. The office that I'm talking about from is one of the beautiful places that people love to work at. It is a lot of other facilities like, cricket net, pool table, table tennis, cafeteria and so on and so on. But we have an open air garden as well and an auditorium. We continue to invest in our people in terms of training and in terms of both cross training and training grounds up people. We are also registering our senior leadership in various courses from IIM Indore, from global universities like Carnegie Mellon as well, through virtual learning programs. So we are investing our team so that they are more capable and they find value in working with InfoBeans. Next, please. So this is a new addition to this set. A lot of investors gave us feedback that they want this and the other information in the deck that we are coming up with. So we added a few interesting slides here. One is, how is the cash reserves growing for InfoBeans in the last 10 years? From a small MEAC at 4.4 crores to a high of 107. And how we, in these two, in this two instances where we have invested into two companies like Philosophy and Eternus. By the way, in 2018, we had a fundraise of 37 crores, so an IPO should also be figuring out here. On the net worth side, we have grown significantly from 9 crores almost to 232 crores in 2022. At a CAGR level, if you look at on a 10-year horizon, on a 5-year horizon, on a 3-year horizon, we are doing phenomenally well in each of those parameters. Next, please. So here, if you look at the investment rationale, which is provided by our key IR team, from 2010 onwards, we've been doubling ourselves every 3 years. And this prominently, you can always say we grew at a lower base, but now here, even at a larger base post IPO, we've been growing and we've been doubling ourselves every 3 years. Even if you look at the chart right there, FY17 to FY20, FY18 to FY21, FY19 to FY22, we've doubled ourselves each of those years. And we believe that we can continue to do that moving forward, provided we continue to grow both organically and inorganically. So a pretty strong pipeline that we see moving forward, decent cash reserves in the bank, and we are very highly committed and focused here. Next, please. Some of the business updates that I wanted to give all our shareholders, because we believe that our shareholder is also a stakeholder, and therefore they should be knowing about what we're doing as a business. So here is one of the most awaited event of the year, which is the leadership retreat. Because of the COVID, we couldn't do it in 2021. So we did that in 2022. The theme of the event was we regroup, realign, and recharge. And we had the entire, the picture that you're seeing here is the leadership team from all the three major locations, US, which is Philosophy Group, Pune, which is Eternus, and InfoBeans Pune. And InfoBeans Indore, where we have all these leadership. So 74 people from these three leadership groups came together with the idea of focusing on the next vision for 2025 and work towards learning from each other, energizing and getting motivated to attain that bigger goals that we have set out for ourselves. And it was a 2-day event in Bhopal where we did that, and really got benefited from what we as a team, we are reoriented, realigned, and recharged for the next big task ahead of us. Next, please. A very interesting innovation that we did is we actually shortlisted, we asked our leaders to shortlist their performers, and we went ahead and put up a full-scale hoarding on the main streets of Indore, which is the Agra Bombay Road, and which is a main city area. And we've been doing it for the last 2 months already. Every week, a new performer sets on the screen. and that person becomes a celebrity for a week in Indore. It has been very well taken by media as well. It got published in The Hindu, it got published in ET and also in the local newspaper, which is Dainik Bhaskar, both on the online and the offline version. It also got viral on LinkedIn, where each of these performers, they definitely spread the word. And at the same time, a lot of HR community took notice and appreciated us, right from NASSCOM to, you know, any other bigger HR forums. People really appreciated this innovative idea of saying thank you to our performers. So I wanted to bring this up to our stakeholders as well, so that they know that, you know, we are very, very people friendly, you know, and you know, company which is willing to go an extra mile to recognize our performance. Next, please. Another innovation that we did in terms of attracting talent was trying to see if we can reduce the hiring cycle. Usually it takes weeks for people to, you know, when they apply and they finally get an offer from the company. What we said was, you know, let's cut the crap. Let's do it in 90 minutes straight. And we did two such walk-in drives, one in March and one in April, where we, we rolled out the entire interview panels, HR people and everybody at in the office where we did the walk-ins. And right from a candidate walking into the company, walking into the office, and till the time the interview is done and the offer is handed over, we ensure that it happens in 90 minutes straight. And it also included a 15-minute tour to the office also. So both the walk-in drives were very, very successful. And we rolled out 35 to 40 offers in each one of them for hiring companies, hiring these candidates. So pretty interesting idea. A lot of people appreciated it. And particularly the candidates who had a wow experience, you know, end-to-end, from applying and getting an offer within 90 minutes. So, yeah. Another thing is, for the year, we spent about 62 crores towards 62 lakhs towards corporate social responsibility. One of the unique programs that we're doing is one-year software programming, intense programming. The name of the program is IETEP, Information Technology Excellence Program, where we train 20 people, which are underprivileged kids, who are 12 grad or, you know, are in their first year or second year, and we give them a full day training for 1 year on software engineering, on English communication, and motivate them. As a result, the first batch, each one of them got a job. It was last year. This year we have increased the team size, the batch size, to 60 people. So 60 students, which are from underprivileged backgrounds, we are training them for free for 1 full year. And you know, we are confident that each one of them will get a job after the end of the course. So by the way, the second batch of 40 students is already towards completion, and 3 months are left, but they're starting to get offers already as we speak. So happy that we are able to change lives of not just that candidate, but the entire family. And it's a really, it's a fulfilling experience. Next, please. And this is the standard slide. Next, please. Thank you very much. We open for question and answers.
Thank you, Avinash.
Thanks.
First question is from the line of Mohit Jain. Mohit, please ask. You can unmute yourself and ask the questions. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, team. First of all, I'd like to congratulate for the good set of numbers. My question is about the acquisition. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, my question is about the acquisitions. So, what I was looking for is, when we acquire a company, what are the set of multiples we look when we set up the valuation?
I think management's line is not audible. Surbi, your line is on mute.
No.
Yeah, because Mohit has asked questions, but we are not able to hear answer from Ashish, Avinash. Still not audible.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now it is audible.
Okay.
So Mohit, what I'm saying is, I don't know if you heard anything, but what I'm saying is, it's very difficult to give out a formula here. There is no way we can do that. We take it case by case. Usually ServiceNow, Salesforce kind of companies are very specialist skill set companies. They are anywhere between 8 to 15x of EBITDA. And regular IT services companies would be typically in the range of, I would say 5 to 10 EBITDA. So again, it is a very broad range, but we usually go case by case. We look at the margins, we look at the profitability of the business, the kind of clients that they have. Overdependence of one client, obviously kills the value. What the founders are going to do after the acquisition, are they going to retire? Are they not going to join the business? Or they're, the multiple combinations that decide what is the value that we are going to offer to them.
So can I presume that for the Eternos part, this is around these numbers?
Yeah, I think we talked about Eternos in the last call. It is a fair valuation that we can think.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mohit. Next question comes from the line of Garvit Goyal. Garvit, please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, my first question is, in spite of 28% growth in our top line, net profits are flat Q&Q. So, sir, any specific reasons for that?
I didn't mention that. There are usually year-end expenses like even cash rents or year-end bonuses. That is contributing to it. Plus, there are typically travel and other expenses. Asha, can you mute everybody? There is a background noise coming in.
Yeah, I did that.
Okay. Next, please.
Next question comes from the line of Devansh. Devansh, please go ahead.
Hi, Vinash. Congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Thank you, Devansh.
Just wanted to understand actually your rationale for entering the Indian business and for starting to service Indian clients. What's been the rationale behind that?
There was no active sales effort from our end. It happened to land in our lap, and we got our rates that we quote to our US customers. So we started working with those clients. And, interestingly, that couple of those clients, they have grown very, very rapidly. So we made zero sales effort, to be very honest.
Okay. And just to understand, could you please repeat your steady state net profit margin expectation? I missed it on the call for a net profit margins.
Usually the EBITDA margin will be in the range of 24% and PAT margin will be in the range of 15%.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Devansh. Next question comes from the line of Nagesh. Nagesh, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Avinash. Congratulations to you and team. Some outstanding job there. And I also missed the opportunity of meeting you in BKC. ENY had scheduled a meeting, but I couldn't, make it. But I'm glad to, hear you. And I also liked, some of those, people-related initiatives which you and team have been working on. Truly outstanding and commendable. I have 3-4 very simple questions. To begin with, pardon my ignorance, I really want to understand, what do you do in your business exactly? What do you mean by digital transformation and product engineering? I know it could be very basic, but if you could just, brief for a minute, that's number one. Number two, allow me to understand more about your Vision 2025. Are there any quantifiable objectives of your vision? And the third question I have is, you seems to be have been growing close to 40% CAGR, which is phenomenal. So how do you see the growth, let's say, over the next 3 to 5 years?
I'll take the last two questions first. What we've done is, Nagesh, we have understood that, any future prediction is more of a fiction. So any 5-year, 10-year plan is not going to really materialize, because there's so many parameters, macro and micro, which will affect it dramatically. So what we have been trying to do since 2017, or maybe prior to that, is trying to look at 2 or 3 years in front of us and see if we can double ourselves every 3 years by way of organic and inorganic means. So that is where we went public and raised capital so that we can add the inorganic flavor to the business. And we have been able to add, 20-odd% from the organic side and 20-25% on the inorganic side on a little longer basis. I mean, you can't do it every year, but, if you look at last 5 years, we acquired only 2 companies. But even then, our pace has been like that, where we've been able to double ourselves every 3 years. So if I were to look at Vision 2025, we would certainly want to see if we can, deliver more than that doubling of ourselves every 3 years. So that is one. There is no quantifiable number I would immediately be able to give you. But the idea is, if we can, continue that pace, even at a larger pace. Because now if we stand close to 300 crores today, I have to, aim at 600 crores in the next 3 years, which is, increasingly difficult. So that is one way to look at it. Now, to come back to your question on product engineering and digital transformation, I will try to keep it simple, because there are so many other people waiting in the queue. We can probably have a separate conversation around it. But, typically we have companies which are, either software companies or hardware companies, or, companies which sell their products or bundle their hardware with software as a part of the package. So, for example, we have NetApp as a client, which is a storage client, which has the hardware, the storage devices that they sell. And we write APIs, which is a middleware, connecting the database server, database software of the world, like Microsoft or SQL Server or Oracle or SAP or somebody else, to allow to talk to these hardware devices, which is the storage devices. So there's a proprietary operating system from the client, NetApp, and then there would be a layer on top of it which will talk to each of those third-party database software. So we write those middleware for our clients like NetApp. Then there's a healthcare compliance company in the US, which has a presence in India also, IQVIA. They sell a lot of products to pharma companies on clinical trials and other things. And we help build those products for our client. They also, so it's a combined effort on building those products. They also have product engineering team. We also have a product engineering team. And we work together to build those software products for the pharma companies of the world. So this is the product engineering side. On the digital transformation side, it, again, in on a layman language, it is trying to automate the existing process, which is either manual or digital, but it is a legacy. When I say digital, it is either manual or online, but it is legacy application. So, for example, one of the clients, which is ICC, which is into which regulates the real estate and standards, building standards in the US, there's a need for them to publish those guidelines in form of a booklet, in form of, you know, and there's a process where they govern the regulations. There's a workflow for those regulations, whether it needs to change, it needs to, you know, update from what it was the last year versus what is going to be, you know, next year. And, you know, there's a voting mechanism, there's a approval mechanism, and there's a publishing mechanism. So we created multiple such solutions for this client, where whatever was done manually or partially done through online systems, we have now brought it to a new age platforms like mobile apps and tablets, and put the solution on the cloud. So that is what you would call a digital transformation. I mean, they already had, let's say, those catalogs into a PDF or Word or HTML, but we had to transform that into XML format so that it is readable by all of these devices which are available now. Plus, we created several applications for them where they can sell those. One is to publish those online. Second is to sell those online. Third is to also create a reader where, you know, you can buy and sell only a capsule or a module of a booklet. So, plus there was a workflow mechanism where we allowed them to change, I mean, govern the entire process of change in regulation, right from voting to approval to, you know, getting it published, all of those things. So this is a digital transformation example.
Thank you. Thank you so much and really appreciate.
Thank you.
Just one last question, if you may allow me. I'm assuming that, you know, whatever you do is sector agnostic. And what could be the addressable size of the market which you're targeting?
I didn't understand. What is the adjustable?
How large is the addressable market for you? Let's say from a 3-year perspective.
That's huge, Nagesh. I think we are behind the same pie that the entire IT business in India is behind. So Indian IT industry is already $200 billion industry. And we have just scratched the surface.
Awesome. Awesome. So thank you so much, Avinash. We'll connect offline with you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Nagesh. Next question comes from the line of Amit. Amit, please go ahead.
Hi, Avinash. I wanted to understand the separate numbers for Philosophy and Eternus, since this was our first full quarter with Eternus, and what kind of margins did we achieve?
So Philosophy doesn't exist in a separate form anymore, Amit. It is integrated with Infobeans from 1st of January. Eternus did about 17 crores in this quarter, and about 5 crores of PAT in this quarter.
Okay. And could you discuss a little bit on the attrition rates that's happening on your industry? Is that a problem that's gone behind now, or are you still facing it in this quarter? And
it is a problem. It is a problem that persists for last 4 quarters, I would say. What we have also done is we tried to slice and dice the data and try to understand how risky or difficult it is for us. So one thing that has come out very prominently is that people between 0 to 2 years of tenure at Infobeans are the ones who are most likely to be volatile, and there is a 14% attrition there. Ironically, these are the people who joined us virtually and who left us virtually. There was no connect, whatsoever. They would have never visited our office either in Pune or Indore. And that is where I think we see a lot of challenges. But when I flip the coin and I see the other side, those who are with InfoBeans, we are with, let's say, 5 years plus, we see only 4% attrition there. So that's a good news in that way. But overall numbers are bad. There is a great amount of attrition. But as I said, we have hired more than 500 people, more than 450 people this year, which is net addition after, whatever attrition we had. We were able to counter that by adding a big chunk of team. Plus, we had returners, 300 people from returners as well. So yes, we are countering with various means and ways. But yes, it is a challenge that that continues to bother us.
And one last question. So the natural acquisition would be in more futuristic, like blockchain, AI, ML, or would be like more industries which are what InfoBean already does, where there's already a big market?
Difficult to say, Amit. We certainly aspire for certain things, but there has to be a right target coming for us. There has to be right valuation. There has to be right size. Anything that is experimental, for example, new age technologies, we would want to take up that if the team is small and easily digestible without any risk. But let's say there's a blockchain company, a $10 million blockchain company, I will not be able to touch it because that poses a lot of risk for me as a business. But if it is a $1 million blockchain company, I would certainly want to experiment that. So I can't say that. We are, looking at various opportunities across the, cross section. And, whichever comes across as a right fit, we will jump on it.
Okay. And one last question. You merged philosophy, I understand that.
Amit, but I would request you to come back in the queue because we have many people in the queue.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Prabhu. Please, Prabhu, please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Puri InfoBean teams ko meri taraf se Jai Shri Ram sir sabse pehle.
Jai Shri Ram.
सर आपको बधाई हो. आपने पिछले साल में ईयर टू ईयर 50% का ग्रोथ दिया है रिवेन्यू में और पार्ट प्रॉफिट आफ्टर टैक्स में 54% का. मुझे विश्वास है कि आप इस अगले साल में 410 करोड़ के आसपास तो बिना इन ऑर्गेनिक ग्रोथ के आप लोग रिवेन्यू टच कर लेंगे. क्या अपन लोग 500 करोड़ का कोई टारगेट सेट किया सर नेक्स्ट ईयर के लिए?
प्रभु जी, ये श्री राम जी की कृपा रहेगी तो सब हो जाएगा.
कोई इनऑर्गेनिक ग्रोथ के लिए कोई टारगेट, कोई कंपनी टारगेट में या बात चल रही
है? नहीं प्रभु, क्या होता है, ऐसा टारगेट सेट करेंगे ना तो कोई जबरदस्ती कंपनी लेने में आ जाएगी. राइट, क्योंकि वो टारगेट सेट कर दिया है, सबको बता दिया है, वो प्रेशर है, तो वो नहीं करना चाहते. आप सोचिए, हम आईपीओ लेके आए फॉर द पर्पज ऑफ इनऑर्गेनिक एंड ऑर्गेनिक ग्रोथ, लेकिन हमने 2 साल तक नहीं अक्वायर करी कोई कंपनी क्योंकि हमको समझ नहीं आई कोई कंपनी. पर यदि टारगेट दे के रखेंगे तो वो मिसलीडिंग टारगेट है क्योंकि उसके प्रेशर में काम नहीं कर सकते. अच्छी कंपनी होगी तो कर ले लेंगे और अच्छी नहीं होगी तो रुकेंगे जब तक नहीं मिलेंगे.
क्योंकि सर अगले साल में आपका इंटरनल सॉल्यूशंस का कंप्लीट रेवेन्यू ये नेक्स्ट ईयर में रिफ्लेक्ट होगा तो 410 करोड़ के आसपास तो आप बिना इनऑर्गेनिक ग्रोथ के पहुंच जाएंगे सर. राइट ना?
मैं कुछ बोल नहीं सकता प्रभु जी, बट आपने अच्छा एनालिसिस किया हुआ हमारी कंपनी के ऊपर. थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर दैट.
सर मेरा दूसरा क्वेश्चन ये है कि पर्टिकुलर InfoBeans टेक्नोलॉजीज के जो प्रॉफिट आफ्टर टैक्स मार्जिन जो है, प्रॉफिट मार्जिन जो नेट प्रॉफिट मार्जिन, वो ईयर ऑन ईयर कम क्यों हो रहे हैं सर?
क्योंकि वो गलत बढ़े हुए हैं सर. हम तो 15% नहीं चाहते हैं, हम तो ज्यादा चाहते ही नहीं
सर. 15% क्यों? इसको आप थोड़ा एम ऊंचा रखिए ना सर.
एम ऊंचा करने की बात नहीं है, जो रियलिस्टिक है वही बात करेंगे ना. अभी ट्रेवल के एक्सपेंसेस गायब है, कोविड में बहुत सारे एक्सपेंसेस बच गए, तो मार्जिन सुधर मतलब ज्यादा दिख रहा है. वो आर्टिफिशियली और नॉट से आर्टिफिशियली बट इट इज नॉट रियल. तो अब सर, एक तरह की सैलरीज हो रही है वो इट इज इम्पॉसिबल टू हैव दैट काइंड ऑफ मार्जिन.
ओके सर, एक लास्ट क्वेश्चन हो रहा है सर, जो अपने को टैक्स, जो टैक्स का एक्सपेंसेस बच रहा है वो कब तक बचेगा सर अपने को? कोई
साल मान सकते हैं,
नेक्स्ट 5 इयर्स वी हैव अपना एग्जेम्प्टेड है ना टैक्स से?
यस यस.
ओके थैंक यू सर, कांग्रेचुलेशन, आप ग्रोथ करते रहें.
थैंक यू प्रभु.
मेरे को आप ये छोटा इन्फोबिंस दिख रहा है सर अपना कंपनी.
थैंक यू.
थैंक्स प्रभु. नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन कम्स फ्रॉम द लाइन ऑफ परम कैपिटल. प्लीज गो अहेड. प्लीज.
हाय हाय अविनाश, सचित हियर.
Hi,
Avinash, congrats on the numbers. So, my first question is that you've been alluding to, margin decline. Is it going to be a function of A, let's say more on-site on-site work coming in, which you are seeing in your order book? Or is it because Eternus seems to be at a very high margin business where you expect some moderation, and given that your India and Singapore proportion of the business are also growing? So what would be the reason for that? And also, similar lines, do you think this 30% PAT margin for Eternus seems it looks too high compared to, Infobeam's numbers?
That's right. Eternus margins are good, very good margins at this point in time, because they were able to increase their rates and utilization levels post our acquisition. So that is working in the favor. So yes, their margins will probably be higher for next few quarters, I would say. They're also facing cost pressures definitely as Infobeam. So yeah, as I said, a steady state is going to be there in next 4 quarters, so to speak. So the margins, we are working towards protecting the margins in many ways. I spoke last time also. This time also, we are working towards increasing the rates with the customers. We're working towards increasing the utilization levels. We're working towards cross-training and, skilling our people more so that, the same person can deliver more value. We are building the bottom of the pyramid so that we can, again, rationalize the cost structure. So all of these effects are going to show up in this year. But at the same time, I must also caution that the cost has dramatically increased and there is a lot of impact that we're going to see this year also. So net-net, I'm confident that we'll be able to protect our margins at 15% kind of a level. But anything more than that is bonus. Anything less, we will protect it very, very stringently, I would say.
Yeah. Just on this, is there more on-site work also coming now when you talk to your clients compared to more offshoring earlier?
I don't think so. I mean, on-site, again, it is a factor of project and work, but customers are happy doing it remotely, even in geographies which was not friendly to remote work, like Middle East and Germany. They're also open now for remote work. So I don't think on-site is a big demand at this point in time.
Okay. My other question is on the balance sheet side. The other intangible assets come out to be 172 crores. And simultaneously, there is a high depreciation also in this quarter. So I just wanted to understand what was the reason for this sharp jump in other intangible assets, and also have you done any goodwill amortization this quarter?
So we are there is a let me break it up into pieces. So there is a purchase price allocation that we did for Eternus. And there's a, for a software company, everything's intangible, more or less, minus the cash. So there is therefore a significant addition on the intangible side, which is to be paid from March 22 to March 25. Each year we have to pay a certain amount. So that is added up. Amortization has started for Philosophy, which got merged into Infobeam's INC. So that is showing up. Depreciation got added up for Eternus also in this balance sheet. So it is also adding up. Anything else, Kunal, you want to add?
This is just the intangibles of PGI and Eternus.
Yeah. So all the acquisitions, you know, bring in intangible assets. And there would be a small component of goodwill also that we have, you know, carved out. But yes, we try to minimize the goodwill as much as we can.
Okay, got it. Last question is, if you can tell us, just give us a qualitative color on how is the performance on philosophy. We know that you're looking at it as an integrated entity, but if there is anything that you can highlight about philosophy, that would be great. That this would be my last question.
It is doing very good, Sachit.
Okay. But would they be like at a good margin as well? Like one is obviously revenue would have pulled back.
They are giving good margins right now.
Okay.
But
great,
let me also warn you, they are also facing the same challenge of talent.
Yeah. That's across.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Those were my questions and all the very best.
Thank you, Sachit.
Thanks, Sachit. Next question comes from the line of Athreya. Athreya, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Hi, Avinash. So could you just throw some light on the demand environment and, you know, the pipeline for the next year?
So demand is very good, Athreya. There are, you know, customers who are actually waiting for, you know, our confirmation for starting a project, which is a bad situation to be in because, you know, we have a demand of, at any point in time in the last 12 months, we were down or we were short of 300 people at any point in time. And that is a bad situation. I mean, you know, despite hiring 450 plus people, we are still short of, you know, a good chunk put together. So yes, there is a good demand moving forward. And I don't see any, I would see some sanity, some rationalization in demand as well in this year. But we are still, you know, handful of work coming in from each of those relationships that we carry. So we are in a good state as far as demand goes. Talent, we are, you know, obviously trying out new ideas, new things, and trying to build a team, you know, in whatever possible ways we can. So yeah, it is continuing to, you know, be a struggle moving forward.
Sure. Thank you. So I also noticed in the financials that in the cash flow statement, there seems to be an income tax refund of around 26 crores. Could you just highlight what this is about?
26 crores?
I think so.
No. It cannot be. I'll be more than happy to do that, but I will actually run an investigation as to why this money went out in the first place. There's no such thing. I think probably, I don't know if you're referring to a MAT.
The income tax is paid. So in the cash flow statement, you know, after the cash flow from operating expense, the 2616, the number.
Okay. So it might be related to MAT credit, if at all. No?
In standalone or console? Which cash flow you have?
Income tax is paid.
No, there is income tax is paid. So that is not a...
It is paid. It is not refund, right? It is income tax is paid over maybe what, some years or what? We'll come back to you, Athreya. If you can leave your email address, we'll come back to you.
Sure. And my last question is, there's also like a subsidy income, which is around 5.6 crores. So just wanted to know what that is in the cash flow statement.
So this is this was 2 quarters ago. We got US government grant for philosophy.
All right. And my last question, could you just give the employee attrition number for the company as a whole?
I think what has happened is, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard that, you know, a lot of people joined us virtually and left us virtually. So adding those numbers is actually misleading. So what we did was we broke it up into pieces. We found that 0 to 2 years with Infobeans, there is a highest attrition there, which is like 14%. 5 years plus is about 4%, and 2 to 5 is about another 8-9%. So this is how the breakup would be. So what worries me is the people who are joined at InfoBeans, they've actually not seen the culture of InfoBeans. They've not been interacted. They actually not have been visited the office at all. So they don't know who they are working with, who are they working for. And therefore, it's very difficult to establish any kind of relationship or bond with them. But if you look at people who have been with us for long, they are sticking with us. And we've been rewarding them very handsomely at that.
All right. Thank you so much. That's my last question.
Thank you.
Thanks, Satya. Next question comes from the line of Nirav Dalal. Nirav, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First is, how do you see the progression to the 15%? Because if one just looks at next year, say you do a 15% PAT margins, then for managing the current year's PAT, you will have to grow at about 45 to 50%. So how should then one look at the progression towards 15%? That is question number one. The second question is, again, on the attrition side, so what has been the attrition at the acquired entity in the last 4 months? Is there any number to that? Third, we've had a large deferred tax liability being formed in this year. If you could just explain on that.
Sure. I'll take it to one after the other. So the first one you talked about, how do we progress to the margin? I didn't get your point as to if we had to grow.
So, clearly, if I were to just do a backward calculation for FY23, right? We current year's profit, if we were to take a PAT margin of 15%, so on revenues, we'll have to show revenue growth of 45 to 50% just to maintain the current year's absolute profit number. So I just wanted to understand, how do you see this progression from the current, current 19% for this quarter to the 15%? So how do you see that happen?
So, it's a simple cash flow. Services is a cash flow business naturally, right? So we have returners coming in, our own organic growth is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So there is a whatever growth that happens, it will, there would be some contribution to profit from each of those revenues that we are going to accrue mm-hmm. over the year. Mm-hmm. So I feel that and we have a close handle on our margin where we track it every month.
Correct.
So we see there is a decent, handle at this point in time where we are able to maintain the gross margins and the net margins for each of those clients and projects that we work with.
Okay.
We actively filter out, low margin businesses or even we go at a people level
mm-hmm.
where we know that, whether this person is billable for a month or two or not.
Mm-hmm.
If the person is not billable for 2 months, we certainly go and check as to what's going on and whether we can utilize him or her in some other project.
Correct.
So there's a lot of those close activity, I would say at a monthly level that we do.
Correct.
And therefore, there's a track on whether we are continuing to make that kind of a margin or not.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I think we talked about various means and ways to increase the margins by way of, revising rates and by way of adding bottom-up pyramid and so on and so on.
Correct.
So as I said, we keep a close track of our activities on a monthly basis. And usually revenue is always, adding up to the bottom line.
Correct. So clearly, worst case margins would be 15% PAT.
That's right.
Would that be the right assumption? Okay,
that's
got that.
Right assumption.
Got that. Okay.
And the second question you had was
Eternus. Is there any number in terms of Eternus attrition? How has that been over the last 4 months, the integration?
I think they're able to retain people fairly
okay.
well,
okay.
Better than us.
Okay.
Purely it is a size function.
Okay.
So that's fine.
Okay.
And Krunal, if you can help me with the third one.
Yes. For deferred tax liability, it arises out of the timing differences arising due to the carrying value of assets in our balance sheet and the carrying value of assets in the tax base.
No, but is that a liability? Is that an impact?
No, that is not actually a liability. That is just the timing difference.
Mostly correct. So is it, has it been created because of the acquisition, the intangibles that have been created?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Okay. And just one last question. We've spoken about order visibility of about $40 million. Mm-hmm. Would we have a similar number for last year, just so that one knows that, you know, this is the visibility and then over the year, what you've added?
Usually, Nirav, what happens is, I think we started publishing this number only from last
okay. 2 years. Right.
But, you know, at any given point in time, we would have a fair amount of visibility of the kind of work that we're doing.
Okay.
Usually the contracts are 1 year long contracts. And customer gives that sense that this is what we've been looking at.
Correct.
So with a fair amount of confidence, we are, you know, about this pipeline that you think is fairly visible.
Okay. Got that. Thank you.
Thanks, Nirav. We'll take the next question from the line of Jay Kishan Parmar.
Asha, we'll have to probably take another last 5 minutes and we're done with it.
Yeah, so this will be the last question from the line of Jay Kishan Parmar.
Yeah, thanks. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations to the team for a good set of numbers. First question is that, which is synced to the last participant asked, that progression of 15%, like PAT margin. So you said 15%. So is it FY23 number, or it will gradually, like FY24-25, it will reach to 15%? And this assumption include 25% tax rate or no?
So Jay Kishan, we are a MAT company, and we are operating mostly into SEZ. So our tax will be in the range of 18% or so. That's one. Second is, what I'm trying to tell everybody here is that, you know, we have a good margin right now. We'll certainly want to protect as much as we can. But don't, you know, do all your, you know, calculations if you want to. As Nirav put it rightly, the worst case scenario, you know, probably will be 15%. So I would not want to make a progression plan of reducing my margin, right? I would certainly want to make a progression plan of going to 25. But, how much the market can support me, how much the realities of the world are going to work, we only know in time to come. So I can do both the projections in front of me, but, it is fiction. It is not reality. So the bottom line is we'll fight tooth and nail to protect 15%. But anything above that is bonus. Anything below, we'll not let it happen.
Okay.
As long as we can control the situation, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's helpful. So, and what is the revenue for Eternus full year for FY22 and PAT?
They did about 64 crores and about 22-23 crore. 20. 9 PAT.
18 years.
So I think they did about 17 odd crores in PAT.
Okay. And one last question.
Because Eternus is at 25% tax rate.
Acha, okay. And one last question, what is the ESOP pool at the moment? I mean, what percentage of our share capital is ESOP at the moment?
It is 2.5%, 6 lakh shares to be precise.
2.5.
6 lakh shares, 2.5%.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay Kishan. Thanks everyone for joining the call. This was the last question from participants. I will now hand over the call to Avinash for closing comments. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, everybody, for your continued interest and for all the participants for being in this call and being actively asking questions. Appreciate your homework and appreciate your interest, continued interest in inconvenience. We look forward to meet all your expectations as much as we can. We are a growth-oriented company and we continue to invest in growth. And we would look at both organic and inorganic means to continue on this journey. We are enjoying the journey for the last 22 years, and I'm sure we'll continue to enjoy in future as well. Whatever we did with the IPO money in the last 5 years, we should be able to repeat the same journey moving forward as well. So we are focused on generating value for all the stakeholders, including our shareholders. So thank you for your trust and confidence in us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Take care.
Bye.